Chapter 13.
Oh, fucking hell!
Janine just about screamed as she looked around the room.
I can handle some weird shit, but a bunch of scary children and disembodied arms? This is too fucking much!
What's wrong, my dear?
All copies of the little boy sang, but then their voices turned demonic.
Don't you want to play with us?
Fuck you!
Naomi hissed, and she blasted one of the bastards with a shot of silver magic. Then the witch proceeded to slam the shadow man into the ceiling, where he disappeared into a puff of dark smoke. However, that was only one of many copies of the asshole.
Which one do we need to pin down?
Leah asked, as her tongue shot out of her mouth. I watched as the polywarm woman lashed her tongue around one of the shadowy figure's throats, and then jerked her head to the side. As she did so, the shadow man's clone flew away and smashed into two more, and all three of them disappeared in a puff of smoke. So this was the game we were playing. There were a bunch of copies of the Shadow Man in this room, but only one of them was the real one. Still, I had a bad feeling that even the fake copies could actually inflict some real damage. That was something I really didn't want to try and find out. No fucking clue! I called out as two of the little bastards came at me, and I turned them into a puff of smoke with a swipe of my claws. We just gotta keep killing these fuckers until we figure out which one's real!
We're all real, Werepanther,
the voices said in unison.
Wanna see?
All at once, five of the little clones dogpiled me, and there was nothing I could do but brace for impact as they all climbed over my body. The Shadow Man's duplicates moved around me like squirrels on a fucking tree, and I tried my damnedest to get them off as I swung my legs and arms violently. A few twangs of pain shot through my body as their teeth sank into my flesh, and I realized my earlier hypothesis was correct. All the copies could do real damage. I let out a roar of pain as I quickly crouched down and launched myself backward as hard as I could. My body went airborne for half a second before it slammed into the ground, and I felt two of the shadow clones disappear into a spray of darkness. The other three were still clinging onto my body, but I quickly rolled away and then jumped up to my feet. As I did so, I slammed my arm into the ground and killed another one of the bastards. Then, with my right hand free, I punched the one that was on my stomach and sank my claws into the back of his head. He let out a shriek as I yanked him from my body and then bit down on his head, which silenced him in a spray of dark mist. The last shadow clone had his teeth stuck in my leg, and I snarled in pain as he began to shake his head back and forth like a dog. A hunk of flesh tore free from my skin with a spray of crimson, and I let out a growl as I reached down and slashed my claws across his face. The clone's head snapped to the right with a sickly crunch, but his body remained upright as he stumbled backward. Then I stabbed both my front paws into the shadow clone's chest, before I lifted him up into the air and yanked his body in separate directions. The shadow man's duplicate disappeared in a puff of smoke, and I growled with frustration as I realized none of those were the original. Naomi! I called out to the witch. Do you have a revelation spell of any kind?
Not off the top of my head! Not that I'd be able to focus enough to cast it anyways with all these assholes running at me!
We want your undivided attention, Witch of the Night. Don't you love us? We are cut from the same cloth, after all.
I don't think even your own mother could love you.
Naomi growled as she slammed another clone into the ground violently.
Ugh! Whoever the fuck your mother might be, if you have one.
Mother, 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 mother.
The voices echoed through the room.
You could be our mother. You could stay here with us forever and ever and ever.
Enough with the shining shit!
Naomi spat, and then she used her magic to pull a nearby dresser down onto a group of the shadow clones. The thing was solid oak and nearly 500 pounds full, so it smashed four more of the little fuckers into mist. Meanwhile, off to the right of the scene, Ada and Janine stood back to back as they fought off the creepy little fuckers that swarmed them. Ada made long, sweeping attacks with her claws that turned the shadow clones into dark mist, with the occasional roundhouse kick or stiletto through the forehead thrown in for good measure. Janine took a much more simple approach to defense as she held one of Ada's strange 2-foot-long bronze statues in her hands, specifically the one that looked like a naked woman. The redhead's hands glowed bright with her yellow luck magic as she smashed the heavy statue into the shadow clones' heads, and thanks to her spell, each and every blow seemed to land true. A few more of the creepy fuckers came at me, but I backhanded them away into the wall, where they dissipated into nothingness.
Ugh, come on, you fucker! I snarled. Face me like a man!
We're not a man, though,
the droning voices responded.
Besides, you brought your friends out to play, so I figured I'd bring mine.
Suddenly, something heavy slammed into the back of my head, and I let out a grunt as I stumbled forward. I twisted my body around as my brain throbbed in my skull, but all I saw was a large, boulder-sized fist as it slammed into my chest and sent me flying backwards across the room. My body hit the nearby wall, and then my blood ran cold, when dozens of icy fingers wrapped around my legs and arms and various parts of my fur. The fucking hands had me in their grips, and since I was off the ground, I had next to no leverage against their strength. Through my panic, however, I saw the little fucker who hit me. His right hand was tightened into a glowing, oversized fist that slowly shrunk back down to a normal human-sized one right before my very eyes, and I realized none of the other shadow clones had that ability. This had to be the Shadow Man himself.
"Guys!"
I screamed to my friends as I tried to break free of the disembodied arms.
"He's right here in front of me! The Shadow Man is—"
Before I could finish my sentence, three of the cold, clammy hands slapped over my mouth and cut off my words.
"Where is he?"
Naomi asked, before she tore apart another clone.
"Is he over by your position?"
I used all of my strength to open my mouth and then bit down on the hands as hard as I could. A disgusting, ash-tasting substance with the consistency of oil sprayed into my mouth, and I gagged as I bit down again. A strange sound echoed through my eardrums, one that sounded like somebody short of breath taking a deep, long inhalation. Then the noise turned into a droning, deep shriek, and the hands pulled away from my mouth.
"It's the one with the extra powers! The clones only have their teeth!"
The Shadow Man placed his index finger up over his lips and made a slow, shushing noise as he stepped back into the crowd of clones.
Fuck! That may have been our best shot at the bastard, and he slipped away.
Still, I doubted he'd be able to stay hidden for long. If we kept taking out his copies at the pace we were now, the Shadow Man would be forced to play his hand. But first, I had to get away from these fucking hands. I struggled with all my might, but they had me good. Even though I knew I was 10 times stronger than whatever the fuck these things were, I was fighting against the strength of a dozen of them with no leverage, and I wasn't getting out anytime soon. At least, not if I was just trying to brute force my way through them. This was a case of needing to work smarter, not harder. That's when I remembered back to when Janine and I made love in my office. I'd been able to transform only isolated parts of my body at will, rather than just my entire body at once. Sure, that might have enhanced my love-making experience with Janine, but right now, I could use this newfound ability to my advantage. I summoned my black magic into both of my arms, and then quickly shifted them back into their human forms. The second I did so, the hands lost their grip on my wrists and shoulders, and I pulled away from their grasp. Then I transformed my arms back into Werepanther arms, unsheathed my claws, and got to work. I stabbed my claws into one of the arms around my torso and literally ripped its hand away from the rest of its figure. The same strangled gasp echoed through my head as a thin black substance sprayed from the arm's stump, and I instantly attacked the other ones that had my chest and stomach. They popped away like freaking dandelions, and soon my torso was completely free. I bent down at the waist, took out the ones on my legs, and then plopped back down to the ground on all fours. I jumped forward before they could grab me again, and my eyes narrowed as I set my sights on the crowd of creepy little clones before me.
"Incoming!"
Leah called out, and I turned right as a shadow clone flew through the air straight for me. I let out a roar and stood on my back paws as I caught the bastard with my claws, and then I slammed him onto the ground and sent him into oblivion. I took out another shadow clone with a backhand and another with a bite, but then the frustration was starting to overtake me. These damn things weren't stopping, and I was nowhere near to finding the real Shadow Man. My friends and I may have been winning the battle at the current moment, but we couldn't keep this up forever. Eventually, we would get tired or make a mistake, and then these hordes of little creepy fucks would overtake us. We needed to find the real Shadow Man, and we needed to find him soon.
"Why won't you come out?"
I snarled as I smashed my paws around another clone's head and turned it into a spray of dark mist.
"Come out, you son of a bitch!"
"That's a naughty word,"
the little clones said in unison.
"You say a lot of naughty words, don't you? We'll have to teach you a lesson in manners, Werepanther."
"Shut up!"
I roared, and then I used my teeth to rip out the stomach of another clone. White-hot rage boiled up from my very core, and I saw red as I tore through the shadow clones like they were made of wet cardboard. Still no sign of the real Shadow Man. Then I realized what I had to do. If I couldn't find this asshole on my own, then I needed to make him come to me. And the only way I could do that was by using myself as live bait. I cut down a few more clones as I made my way over to where Naomi was fighting.
Glad you stopped by.
The witch teased, just before she picked up a clone and used it as a human battering ram.
I was starting to get bored.
How long does that spell take to cast? I asked, as vaguely as I possibly could, to avoid the Shadow Man's suspicions.
The one we were talking about earlier.
About 30 seconds,
Naomi answered.
Why, did you finally find the one we're looking for?
No, I shook my head. But I'm about to draw his attention, and I wanted to make sure you had enough time to cast your spell before I ended up, well, with my eyes torn out of my skull and my limbs scattered across the room in a pool of blood.
Fuck!
Naomi gulped as her dark eyes darted to me.
What exactly are you planning on doing?
Just be ready to cast the spell, I explained, and then I looked at the rest of my friends. I wanted to tell them what I was planning, but I couldn't take the risk of drawing the suspicions of the Shadow Man. If I wanted this plan to work, then he had to think he'd caught me off guard, and that I was alone and completely helpless. I just hoped Naomi was right, and she would be able to step in and cast her spell before my idea had a chance to go south. I cut down a few more of the Shadow Clones until finally there was a massive gap between me and the next closest enemy. Now it was time to set my idea in motion. I instantly summoned black magic around the entirety of my body and commanded it to turn back into a human. I felt all of my appendages shrink back to their original forms, while the hair on my body returned to fine bristles, and my teeth morphed back into their original omnivore shape.
Carter!
I heard Janine gasp from across the room.
What's wrong? Why did you turn back?
I don't know! I lied in a fake, fearful voice. I think the magic of this dimension is overwhelming my abilities. I can't change back!
You crazy son of a bitch.
I heard Naomi whisper amusedly under her breath. That's when the Shadow Man revealed himself. One of the creepy little fuckers charged forward, as his eyes lit up with an intense red glow, and he extended his hand out in my direction. Several small arcs of dark magic sprayed out like tiny spiderwebs and wrapped me in their embrace. And then I lost all control of my body. I felt the paralysis begin to take me over once more, and I simply stood there, paralyzed, as the Shadow Man continued forward. His fingers elongated out and turned into deadly 6-inch claws, and he approached me with a shit-eating grin on his face. I may not have been able to move right now, but I had this asshole right where I wanted him. Naomi must have recognized the signal, because the witch instantly ran over so she was in between me and the Shadow Man. The second she came to a halt, she raised up her right hand, surrounded it with silver magic, and began to yell at the Shadow Man in Latin. My knowledge of that language was a bit rusty, so I didn't catch everything Naomi said, but I recognized a few words like name, demon, and spirit, which told me she was on the right track. As Naomi spoke, the Shadow Man skidded to a stop and began to shriek in agony. His skin started to smoke as if a blowtorch was being held up to his flesh, and he stumbled back as every single clone in the room turned their attention to Naomi.
You're no fun,
they growled in unison, and then they began to bum-rush the witch. Not on my watch. I called the dark magic back around my body and quickly transformed back into my werepanther form. At the same time, I saw Ada, Leah, and Janine start to cut through the crowd of clones and make a beeline straight for the Shadow Man.
Ada?
I heard Leah call out.
Want to try that move we practiced last week?
Of course, love.
Ada responded, and then I saw the succubus rise up into the air. Ada shot across the room, picked up Leah in her arms, and then rocketed over the crowd of shadow clones. As they flew, Leah's tongue shot out of her mouth and grabbed onto the Shadow Man's left wrist. And before he could make another move, the polywarm woman lifted him up into the air, where he flailed around wildly as he tried to escape her grip. Naomi continued to say her incantation as the clones swarmed us, and I had to go full Neo on the fuckers. I ran straight into the massive group and took out a few of them with a slash of my claws. Then I picked up one of the creepy bastards by his arms, made a full 360 pivot, and knocked about a dozen more of them to the ground. I bit the clone's face off with a snap of my jaws, before I took down 3 more in rapid succession, all while the real Shadow Man writhed in agony above.
Gnomon!
Naomi demanded in a stern tone.
Gnomon!
I recognized that as the Latin word for name. She must have been coming close to the end of her spell.
Never!
The Shadow Man's voice was now back to its regular self.
Gnomon!
The witch snarled, and her silver spell grew brighter. One of the little clones stabbed his teeth into my leg, and I let out a yowl of pain as I tried to shake him loose. Then I threw my right paw down, stabbed it into the back of his head, and yanked down. And the fucker's head separated from his body with a spray of dark mist, before his entire figure evaporated. I punched another clone to the ground, and smashed his body under my foot. but I quickly found myself overwhelmed by the sheer numbers. Three of my friends were busy handling the Shadow Man, and Janine was just a girl with a blunt object. The two of us didn't stand much of a chance against a small army of evil children, but we had to keep trying. We had to keep them from getting to Naomi at all costs.
That... that tickles! The Shadow Man taunted.
No, men! We're done asking nicely.
I heard Ada growl. I heard a wet snap, followed by a yowl of pain from the Shadow Man. A whole bunch of the Shadow Clones were now on my body, and their teeth tore away at my flesh in small, painful bites. I slammed my body to the ground and took out a few of them, but then many more instantly took their places.
No, men!
The witch demanded again, and then she said a few more words in Latin. Finally, the air seemed to go silent, and all the clones stopped what they were doing and froze in place. I used the opportunity to kill as many of the fuckers as I could, but they didn't seem to react.
Kekuatu!
All of the voices suddenly said in unison.
Servant of Kek!
Bingo.
See?
Naomi grinned, but the expression looked more like a savage baring of her teeth.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
You've made a grave mistake.
The Shadow Man warned, and his little minions echoed his words.
I was just going to kill you, but now I will wipe out your entire bloodlines, each and every person. But not before I bring you into my world and have a little bit of fun first.
We're already in your world, asshole, and we're the only ones having any fun. Now why don't you save us the hassle and reveal your true form, Kekuatu? We're going to find out what it is anyways.
No, you won't. We will keep at this little game of cat and mouse over and over again, Carter Hatfield, until I finally get you. And rest assured, I always get who I'm after.
The clones all turned their attention toward me, and then they began to charge.
Oh, fuck.
I grumbled as I watched the pasty little fuckers approaching.
Carter!
Ada cried out.
Catch!
I turned around right as Leah whipped her head to the side and unfurled her tongue from around the Shadow Man's wrist. Her aim was just a bit off, and I realized he was going to land just out of my reach. I needed to change that. I ran forward, cut down two more Shadow Clones, and then pounced up into the air like a house cat after the laser pointer's red dot. I snarled as my claws came out, and then I sunk them right into the Shadow Man's body. He yelped as I literally tore his body in half, and I watched the two halves plop down harmlessly on the floor. However, I'd jumped a bit too high. The hands dropping down from the ceiling snatched me up, and I suddenly felt my body being pulled in every single direction. I gritted my teeth and roared as I fought back against the hands, and then looked down at the room below me. Dark tendrils of magic had now stretched out of the Shadow Man's body and intertwined, and they slowly started to pull him back together as my friends continued their fight against his clones. Even though I knew that wasn't enough to kill the bastard, it still felt extremely satisfying to do. The Shadow Man's body pulled itself back together, and then he looked up at me with a scowl.
You'll have to sleep sometime, Carter. And one of these days you won't have your friends around to help. I'll be waiting.
That's when the sound of our alarm clock echoed in my ears, and my eyes shot open. I sat up in bed with a loud gasp, and then I proceeded to look around to make sure all of my friends were okay. The four women were still snuggled up against my body, though they were each in a varying state of alertness. Naomi's hazel eyes were wide open and filled with fear, while Janine was just blinking rapidly as she stretched. Ada rubbed her eyes as she let out a long, obnoxious yawn, and Leah was already sitting up in the bed, fully alert.
Holy shit,
I said as I shook off my exhaustion and glanced over at the clock on the wall.
We did it, guys. We survived.
Not only that,
Naomi reminded me.
We also got his name.
I glanced over at the clock, which read 11 a.m.
Damn, we literally conked out at around 4.
Oh, shit!
Janine gasped.
I missed my 10 o'clock animal psych class. Oh, I hope Professor Trachtenberg will let me listen to her notes or let me do a sit-down session one-on-one with her to catch up. You know...
Leah chuckled through a drowsy voice.
I'm all for trying to be successful in school, but most of the time when you miss a class, you just miss the class and move on. So you slept in. It happens. I'm sure your professor won't hold it against you.
Though I doubt being late because you were fighting a netherworld creature in your sleep counts as a valid excuse.
Naomi said with a smirk. I don't think any of you are going to class today anyways. I reminded my friends. We still got some work to do. Even though we'd just gone toe-to-toe with the Shadow Man and come out victorious, our final victory was still a ways away. We had the fucker's real name, which meant we could now try to figure out what his true form actually was. And once we found that out, we could put him out of his misery once and for all. Still, the Shadow Man was right. I had no idea how long it would take us to find the information on Kekuatu. We might be able to crack the code in the next hour, or it might take us days, or even weeks, before anything could be of use to us. And in the meantime, we would constantly be fighting against the urge to sleep. An urge that, in my experience, always won out in the end. The clock was ticking, and I had the sinking feeling we were quickly running out of time.
Kekuatu,
Janine mumbled, as she slid out of bed and began to pace back and forth.
I'm not too familiar with that name off the top of my head, though I do know about Kek, the one he claims to serve.
The Egyptian god of chaos. Darkness and living form.
That's the one with the frog head, right? I know a little about him for, well, obvious reasons.
It depends on who you ask.
Janine shrugged.
Some Egyptians thought he had a serpent head while his female counterpart looked like a frog. It was in the time of ancient Greece when people started depicting Kek as a deity with a frog head.
Does it matter what sort of head he has?
Believe it or not, it kinda does.
The redhead nodded.
Many of the Egyptian deities created servants in their image, so if the Shadow Man is a servant of Kek, then he will most likely take on the form of something similar to the god himself.
So, you're saying the Shadow Man might actually be a giant frog?
Naomi raised a dark eyebrow and crossed her arms across her busty chest.
Maybe?
Janine shrugged.
Or maybe he's a serpent. Or maybe he's something completely unholy and inconceivable to the human mind, like Ichthygo.
Whatever he is, we need to figure it out quickly, I said, as the gears in my mind spun. Janine claims only the Ancient Ones knew what the Shadow Man actually looked like, but now we have a name to go with the legends. We need to figure out if there are any accounts of Kekuatu in any sort of literature or stories or, fuck, even if there are any conspiracy theory videos on YouTube out there that might talk about the damn guy.
I can swing by UC and ask Hansen if he's gotten any further on those translations. If the Ancient Ones are the only beings that know the Shadow Man's true form, then maybe they'd have something written down.
Didn't Hansen already translate every part of the scrolls that related to the Shadow Man?
He was looking for references to the Shadow Man, not Kekuatu. Now that we have an actual name, it might open up the possibilities of what he's found, or what he already knows.
Do you need a driving buddy? Because I'll totally go with you. I've still got some shit I need to clean out of my old dorm room before I officially turn in the keys and give up my lease.
I'm always glad to have a partner in crime.
Janine smiled.
Plus, we make a very good research team.
Just be careful. The OLG is still out there, watching and waiting. Also, as much as I know you like Dr. Hansen as a person, there's something off about him. I can sense it every time we walk into his office.
I'm like 60% sure he knows you're a werepanther. That's probably why you get those uneasy feelings around him.
I doubt that, love. If your professor knew Carter's secret, don't you think he would have said something by now?
Maybe.
The paranormal archaeology student shrugged.
Though I could also imagine him playing it coy in an attempt to study Carter as well. Anyway, he's not a threat to anyone. He's just a goofy, middle-aged man who's way too into his work.
Just be careful, and make sure you actually text me back this time.
We will.
The redhead winked as she picked up her keys off the dresser and slid them into her pocket.
I promise I'll at least give you some updates, even if I find myself lost in Larawake's The Holy Paranormal like I was last time.
I'll text you. I have a bit more self-control than Janine does when it comes to studying.
With that, Leah and Janine headed out of the bedroom and then disappeared into the hallway. Meanwhile, Ada and Naomi exchanged sly grins. I trailed off as I looked between the two women. Dare I ask what that look is for?
Nothing.
Ada shook her head.
Just wait until those other two are gone, and then we can talk.
Talk about what? Have you two been plotting behind my back?
Not plotting,
Naomi said, as her lips twitched into a smirk.
Strategizing.
About?
Wait until the other two leave.
Ada pouted.
Trust me, love, it's for the best.
That didn't instill confidence in me. Leah and Janine were the two most intelligent members of our team, and the fact these other women wanted to specifically wait until they were gone to tell me their plan made me a bit worried.
Do you think it's been long enough?
Naomi asked Ada.
Probably.
The succubus shrugged.
Unless they forgot something and decide to come back. Though, if that happens, then I guess we just deal with the repercussions.
Repercussions? Can you please tell me what you guys are planning?
Of course, love.
Ada purred as she traced her index finger around my jawline.
We should go down to the main floor first, though.
I'll grab the incense and meet you down there.
Naomi offered, and then the witch disappeared through the doorway. Suddenly, it clicked in my head. Incense and a lack of our scientific thinkers. You two are planning to do some sort of ceremony, aren't you?
Come, Carter.
Ada said, as she put her hand around my shoulder and began to walk me out into the hallway.
We have much to discuss.
The succubus and I made our way through the second floor of her club, from the modern chic hallways to the classy lounge area, with its 80-inch TV and its authentic leather couches, until we finally came to the stairwell. Ada led me down the narrow staircase and then out onto the main area of her nightclub, where she promptly plunked down at one of the bar tables. All right, Ada, I said, as I waggled my finger at the succubus. You've played coy for long enough. What's going on?
Naomi and I had a bit of a discussion earlier.
The dark-haired woman explained.
Though we trust Janine's research skills and believe she's doing everything in her power to figure out about the Shadow Man, we think her approach might be a bit too traditional.
Okay, I said with a slight nod. What exactly did you have in mind?
Something more practical,
Ada said as she patted the seat next to her.
Something that would allow you to get information about our enemy firsthand.
Firsthand? I chuckled as I pulled out the metal chair and plunked down into it. That would be impossible, Ada. If I wanted to get information on Kekuatu firsthand, I'd have to either go back in time or figure out how to converse with the Ancient Ones directly. And neither of those things are going to happen anytime soon.
I wouldn't be so sure about that,
Naomi warned, as she walked into the room carrying a huge handful of incense in one hand and a lighter in the other. I watched as the former Sister of the New Moon placed the incense burners all around the perimeter of Ada's club, and then lit them one by one. As she did so, the entirety of the space became filled with a spicy, aromatic scent. It also reminded me of a particular plant that was always popular with college students. Is that marijuana? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
It's spikenard,
Naomi said through a giggle.
But it smells very similar, I know. I promise this is all part of what we're trying to do.
Which is what? You're obviously trying to set up some sort of secret ceremony without Janine and Leah knowing, so you might as well just come out and tell me what I'm getting myself into.
It's not that we don't want them to know.
Naomi trailed off.
We just didn't want them to be here to protest.
Indeed.
Ada nodded.
You see, Carter, when Naomi was reading through the spellbook we gave her, she found a very peculiar spell, one very pertinent to our current situation.
A messenger spell. A spell that would allow you to communicate directly with the Ancient Ones themselves.
Holy shit. Like, a chance to talk to an actual god? That sounds... Wait, what's the catch here?
Catch?
Ada said in a very coy tone.
Why do you think there's a catch?
You intentionally waited until Leah and Janine weren't around to protest, I said with a smirk. There's something about this messenger spell you thought they'd be against.
Well, okay.
Naomi trailed off and then looked up at the ceiling.
I guess there is a small snag. A teeny, tiny little snag.
The two women remained silent for a solid minute, so I motioned for them to get a move on it. Come on, spit it out! What's the snag? Ada and Naomi exchanged concerned glances, but then finally, Naomi spoke up.
The messenger spell can be tricky to cast. It involves sending your astral body across the dimensions, which in turn requires a few small rifts to be torn open to allow you to pass through.
Sounds pretty straightforward to me, I shrugged.
But, you see,
Ada added,
the rifts are not a one-way street. So, for example, if too large of a rift is created, it will allow other beings to enter our world, beings that would be similar to Ichthigo or other unholy interdimensional terrors hell-bent on destroying everything in their paths.
So, how do you prevent that from happening?
Precise spellcasting.
Naomi noted.
If I'm to make this spell work, then I cannot mess up a single element. Hence why I've lit 6 different spikenard plants. The spellbook clearly says the spell cannot be cast until enough time has elapsed that half of 6 spikenard plants have been burned. Then I have to draw an occult symbol on your forehead using my own blood, a symbol that will represent the knowledge you are seeking. In this case, the Sigil of Kek. Then, once that's done, it's pretty standard spellcasting stuff.
Naomi said with a shrug.
I say the incantation while you sit there with your eyes closed, and once I've said it for half an hour straight, the spell should take effect.
As long as she's not interrupted,
Ada said, as she looked at her fingernails nonchalantly.
And as long as she says the correct words, draws the correct symbol, and gets the timing of the incense right, otherwise we're going to be in for some nasty visitors.
I'd trust Naomi, I said, as I looked over at the beautiful witch. You've already proven yourself to be a great spellcaster, so there's nobody I'd rather have do the honors.
So, that's a yes?
I don't think there's any going back now, I said, as I pointed around the room. You've already got the incense burning, after all.
Excellent.
The witch clapped her hands together and smiled.
We shall wait for the spikenard to burn halfway, and then we shall proceed with the rest of the ceremony.
This may have been completely crazy and out of left field, but I was starting to get desperate. The Shadow Man had been a thorn in my side for several days now, and I needed to figure out how to kill the bastard before he had an opportunity to kill me. And as much as I loved Janine's approach to research, speedy it was not. We didn't have months to pore through every book in the library or every scroll in the Sisters of the New Moon's archives. We were on the verge of victory, and I wasn't going to let that slip through my fingers. If this meant casting a dangerous spell that would potentially allow me to speak to a god, then so be it. After a few more minutes of waiting, Naomi stood from her stool and walked over to the bar. I heard the soft sound of shattering glass, and then I watched as the witch held a shard of super-sharp glass to her right index finger. Finally, Naomi pressed the point into the flesh of her finger gently, but firmly enough that it drew a small bit of blood. Before she walked over to the very center of Ada's club and then motioned for me to come and join her, right there on the dance floor. I stood from the metal chair before I sauntered over to the witch, and then I went down onto my knees. The second I did so, Naomi leaned forward, held up her bleeding finger, and then started to draw whatever symbol needed to be drawn. Her blood was warm against my flesh, and I could clearly smell its metallic stench, thanks to my werepanther abilities. Once Naomi was done drawing, she took a step back, grabbed a towel from the bar, and wrapped it around her bleeding finger.
Wow.
Ada whistled as she looked over my face.
I must say, Naomi, that's probably the best Egyptian chaos symbol I've ever seen. Thanks.
Naomi smirked.
It was done in a medium that was very, very difficult to work with, but I pulled it off.
What happens now? Do we start the actual incantation? Naomi walked over and observed the different incense burners. Then she turned back to me and gave me a firm nod.
Close your eyes, and don't open them until we tell you to.
The witch ordered, and I obeyed. I placed my hands against my thighs as I sat there on my knees, and then I closed my eyes tightly. The second I did so, I heard Naomi's beautiful voice start to recite an incantation in a language I wasn't familiar with at all. The language sounded very primal, with lots of grunts and throat sounds. On the other hand, there was a certain elegance to the way the sentences were strung together, almost like Naomi was speaking a form of Latin that wasn't known to the common man. She continued the incantation for several minutes, all while I kept my head bowed and my eyes closed. I couldn't help but feel nervous as I listened to the incantation being spoken. If Naomi messed this up by even one word, or if she didn't eyeball those incense burners correctly, there were going to be dire consequences for not only us, but potentially the entire world. Fighting Ichthigo was bad enough once. If we accidentally summoned dozens of the fuckers, well, that was something I didn't even want to think about. Naomi continued to chant for much, much longer, until finally the smell of incense in the air seemed to dissipate. Then, much to my surprise, the incantation stopped, and I felt the witch's warm touch as she gently placed her thumbs against my eyelids and dragged them open. Is that it? Why am I still here?
The incense is all burned,
Naomi confirmed.
The symbol is drawn, and the magic words have been said. This means you should be able to communicate with the gods by now.
Maybe we all got transported to a different plane of existence, and the gods are just watching and waiting.
Doubtful.
Naomi sighed.
Well, we must not have fucked it up too bad,
Ada said.
Because I don't see any bloodthirsty monsters running around killing everything in sight.
Don't tempt fate,
Naomi warned the succubus.
Though this is strange. Everything was done in the correct order, and there don't seem to be any negative side effects like there would be if we completely messed up the incantation. It just feels like nothing is happening.
Are you sure you interpreted the instructions correctly? I know sometimes those can be really vague and hard to follow.
I don't understand.
Naomi frowned.
I thought that...
Before Naomi could finish her sentence, a powerful, woozy feeling washed over my head, and the room began to spin as I struggled to remain upright, until I eventually fell forward on all fours. My stomach felt like it was on fire, and the world seemed to start flipping end over end around me. Then came the intense exhaustion. Even though we just slept for 7 hours straight, a wave of tiredness crashed over me like a wet, weighted blanket.
Carter?
Ada asked, though her voice now sounded like it was far away and distorted.
Are you all right?
I don't know. I feel like I'm high or some shit. Like, I can see and understand what's happening, but I'm not really that coherent myself. In fact, I... Before I could finish that sentence, the exhaustion hit me like a ton of bricks, and I collapsed forward, face first, onto the dance floor. The last thing I remembered hearing was Naomi's scream of terror as the world went black, and I was completely enveloped by whatever darkness we had just summoned.